today.
Orthodox Union.
I believe that I'll have to bring some more copies. The Orthodox Union just published my third sefer in a series about Rav Soloveitchik. So I'll have to bring some more copies next time. Okay. So where did we leave off? On the bottom of base on the base. I don't remember any. I think towards the bottom of base on the base.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah. So the Gemara quoted there were three opinions regarding the husband brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants her to drink the Mayim HaMarim. So we paskan like Rabbi Yeshua that he have to have two Eidim for the Kinu and two Eidim for the Stira. If you don't have two Eidim for the Kinu, two Eidim for the Stira, so he cannot have his wife, he cannot insist that the wife should drink the Mayim HaMarim. And Rabbi Lezer does not agree, but the two versions of what the Tana Rabbi Lezer disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. So the two versions of what the Tana Rabbi Lezer says. So according to the version that appears in the Mishnah, he says you need two Eidim for the Kinui, and for the Stira, you don't need two Eidim. And according to the version that appears in the Braisa, it's Punk Faket. Rabbi Lezer says you need two Eidim for the Stira, but you do not need two Eidim for the Kinui. So that's what we left off last week. Amar Rab Hanina Misura. They say Taisu says in Subas, he was probably from the Rabbanus Havaroi. They don't think he was an Amor. Amar Rab Hanina Misura. Lalei Meinish Litzi Bizmanazeh. Husband should never warn his wife Latistri Bahadi Plani, should never give her such a kina, such a hasra. Maybe Dilma Kaimalanka Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the din is like this second version of Rabbi Lezer. We know the din is not like him, but you should be machmer, you should be choshish lechumer. So if you don't need Eidus Lekiyam Adova for the kinos, if the husband wants her Altistri Mish Plani, he knows that he wants her. So then she'll become Asura al Baila. Ms. Tatrav she'll have Stira. But like we had the Mesa to the Mivdika. If the woman is responsible for ruining the marriage, then.
But he, so when he gave her, he was. There's no witnesses to prove it. You can't make her drink the Mayim.
Right. And what? And she denies it. She says that he was he never warned her. Or she admits it. If she admits that they're both masking that he warned about history and Mish Pliny,
he would want one witness.
You don't need any witnesses. If she admits, she's murdered. According to what it says in the Mishnah, both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shua hold you need to aid him for the kina edus lekiyam adover. So if he warned her not in the presence of witnesses, even though they both admit that he warned her, like if a boy gives a ring to a girl, shaloi b'fnei edim. So the Kedushin is just not chal. That's Eidus Lekiyam Adover. According to the Mishnah, both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua hold that you need to Eidim Lekiyam Adover for the Kinui. But according to the version in the Braisa, you don't need to Eidim for the Kinui at all. If she'll deny it, she'll deny it. So she's not going to lose the Ksuba. But if she doesn't deny it, so then she'll be then we'll say that it's her fault that she became Asur al Baila. She had a bear not to do the Stira.
According to Rabbi Lezer, even if she denies it, she's also denied. As long as he's not required to do it before Eidim, right?
Right.
If she denies that he ever warned her,
so then he can't be mafsid or ksuba based on what he says. The husband says
he can't live with her either.
Then he has to give it a ksuba. He can't. Normally the din is whenever a man divorces his wife, he has to pay a ksuba. Unless he can prove that she was responsible for ruining the marriage. But if he can't prove it, then he has to pay the ksuba. The law is he always pays ksuba unless he can prove that it was her fault.
The case that you mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago where this rabbi came to the Sadr rabbi, he told his wife not to let him in, etc., she let him in. So did one of the conditions for Stira is that they have to enter the house at the same time. So that condition wasn't met. Wow. She was in her home the whole time, and this guy came from somewhere else.
Uh-huh. Could be. Could be it's a strong point. Could be that it, even if it's Yichud, it could be that it's not called Stira. Okay. It's also a good point. Depends how the story goes. If she went out to greet him and then if she brought him into the house, then maybe it'll be then Stira. Could be. So that's what the Gemara says. Bizman hazeh, there's no maima marim. So if the woman will have kinyan stira, she'll be asura baila with no way to be mater. So he recommends the husband should not be mikane l'ishta. Now the Gemara discusses what is the pirush amilus of the word kinui. What does the word kinui mean? So the Gemara has a machlokes whether the kinui means hasra'a, a kinui means kas. So first the Gemara says, Omer esh lokish, ma loshin kinui, what's the pirush amilus, what is the verb, what is the mashmos of the verb? Dova hamatal kino beino lebein acherim. It means it causes friction. It ruins peaceful relations. So Rish Lakish says that the kinui is a terrible thing, that it ruins the relations between the wife and all the people in the neighborhood. Because the Gemara is going to explain. Alma kasav kinui al piyatzmai. Apparently Rish Lakish thinks that you don't have to have witnesses. You don't need Eidus Lekim Adov. In the Mishnah it says both Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua think that you do need Eidus Lekim Adov Hakinui. And Rish Lakish apparently thinks like the version in the Brisa, that kinyan doesn't require Eidus L'kim Adov. So Rashi adds on over here, normally if there are witnesses and know what's happening, so the witnesses will babble to the whole world, and they'll tell everybody what's going on. So people will start wondering, how come the wife is not friendly with anybody in the neighborhood? So the witnesses will tell everyone, because the husband warned her out history in Mishploni. The fact that Rish Lakish says that kinyan will cause friction between the wife and all the neighbors is an indication that the kinyan is going to be done shalai b'fnei edim. Alma kasover, obviously Rish Lakish thinks, kinyan al pi atzmai. There are no edim. Kuli amo lo yadei dekani lo. The neighbors will not know. Nobody will know that the husband warned about this tree in Mishplani. The amri and the neighbors will think, mai dekama deko bodlo. What's going on? Why all of a sudden she's not friendly anymore? The wife, this man's wife, always used to cook, make cookies and always used to invite everybody in. The husband is baila buyer, there's no isa yichud, she was always normal and friendly. Now all of a sudden, she's not friendly anymore. So this will cause friction between the wife and everybody else. This will cause friction between the neighbors and the wife. That's where Rish Lakish says. Rav Yehme Barav Shalmi Mishmeid Abayi disagrees. Abayi lived in Buffalo, Rish Lakish lived in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't contemporaries either. Rish Lakish was before Abayi. They weren't at the same time, but still, it's a machlokes. Abayi says the pirush amilus of kinui is friction, but it's not that it causes friction between the wife and all the neighbors, but rather it causes friction between the husband and the wife. Dovra mato kinui beino lebeino, between the husband and the wife. Why doesn't he say like Rish Lakish that it causes friction and may cause friction between the wife and the neighbors? Alma kasover, Abayi is of the opinion, kinui al pishnei edim. You have to have two witnesses, and the edim will tell the whole world. Kuli alma yadi. All the neighbors will know the Kani law. Everybody will know because the Eidim will be Motzi as Hakol. They'll tell everybody the husband warned her not to be friendly with anybody. So there isn't going to be any friction between the wife and the neighbors. They'll all understand the predicament that she's in. The friction is going to be between the husband and the wife. The husband and the wife are going to have friction, but not the people in the neighborhood. So what do you see? They both are of the opinion. Rish Lakish and Abayi both say that the word kinui means friction, ruining normal relations. Alma, both of them think kosari osa lakanas, that it's not proper that a husband should be mekane his wife. Umandi alma muta lakanas, there are others who are of the opinion that it is permissible for the husband. There are going to be three opinions. It's osa lakanas, muta lakanas, and mitzvah lakanas. If a husband is choshed that his wife is being mizana, is it a mitzvah on the part of the husband? Is a mitzvah, or is it a reshus? Is muta lakanas, or is it aser? So the first two Amoraim, Rish Lakish and Abayi, think that kinui is miloshin, kas, friction. So the Torah doesn't want to have any friction, not between the husband and his wife, and not between the wife and all the neighbors. Torah, the Rabban Shalom wants everybody to get along. Alma kasabi, the first two are of the opinion, aser lakanas, it's not proper. But if you hold later, the Gemara is going to quote other Tanoim and other Amoraim think that it's permissible or obligatory to be Mekane. How do they translate the word kinui? So it cannot mean friction. He should warn his wife. So to warn doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation. Could be that it has a positive connotation. He warns his wife that she should shape up and she shouldn't fool around with anybody else. So it's not necessarily a negative thing. So once you say that kinui is miloshen hasra, it could be that it's mutar lakanas, it could be that it's mitzvah lakanas.
Hey, if someone suspects his wife, does he have to make a big thing, or he doesn't want to? I guess I know he has a big family, doesn't want to disturb anything. He's meichel, whatever. It's not the right thing to do.
He can't be meichel if the wife is really being mezaneh, so then the husband is not allowed to live with her. The Pashto says that he should try to speak to his wife, try to straighten out the mess. He should show his wife a little more love, so she won't have to go find friendship by the neighbors. She'll find friendship by the husband. Yeah. Where do you see in Tanakh that the word lekanois, the verb kinui, has a connotation of hasra? He says v'chein ho'aymer. He quotes a pasuk in Treyasa by Kana Hashem liyartzoi that the Rabbanu Shel Olam warned. Rashi quotes the whole pasuk. There was an epidemic. There was a plague in Eretz Yisrael. All kinds of insects were eating up all of the tefuah. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam warned all the insects that they shouldn't destroy Eretz Yisrael too much. They shouldn't eat everything else. Shouldn't eat shalei hashchisu or this artzai. Okay. So the word lekanos in Tanakh in biblical Rashi on the previous summit quotes other psukim in Tanakh that the word lekanos sometimes means to cause friction, and here lekanei has the connotation of hasra. That the Gemara quotes unrelated till we're going to get back to the other theme, whether it's muta lekanos, mitzvah lekanos, osa lekanos. So the Gemara Derech Agav quotes other comments on the psukim. Tanya hoyer rameir rameir. Adam over avera b'seiser. A person hides and he doesn't avera, doesn't want anybody to know about it. So what's the Rebbeinu Shalom going to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu machris ola begola. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause it to become publicized, to embarrass him. People think that they can hide when they do an avera. It's never going to work. People cheat in business and so on. And then it becomes the biggest scandal in the world and everybody finds out. So that's what you see from the Parsha of Saita also. The Eishes ish is mezane. She thinks that no one's ever going to catch her. And then it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu machris ola begola. Shenema v'ovar ola b'roch kino. The verb over sometimes has the connotation of ein avera el aloshen hachrosa avara, maybe instead of avera. The ein avara, the verb avara, sometimes has this connotation of publicizing something. Shenemar, as we have a passing in Chumash, vayitzav Moshe v'avira kol b'machane, when they were collecting donations for the binyan amishkan, so they had more than enough, they had way more than they needed. So it says Moshe Rabbeinu announced that no one should no one should give any more donations because they have more than enough. They can't use it. So you see that the word lahavir vayaviru kol means to publicize. Here also, the overall rokina has the connotation of publicizing the avera that the wife did. So it's really a silly thing that people think that they'll cheat in business or they'll cheat on their marriage and they'll get away with it. Everything will be discovered. Everything will be publicized. Vishloka Shamar, it's really foolish for a person to think like that. Vishloka says, no one does any avera. A normal person who's thinking straight knows you better not cheat in business, or you better not do any avera, so it's going to become publicized. Anyone who does an avera, it's really a temporary fit of insanity. It's such a stupidity. It's mamish a ruach shtus. Where does he get this from? Shenema ishish kisista ishtoi tishteksiv. On the side of the Gemara, in the Horus of Rabbi Tal Ranch books, he quotes from the Maharsha in the Chidushi Agode on this Gemara. The Maharsha has usually Chidushi Halocha, that's Ches Hei, that's in the big letters, and then in the tiny letters, he always has comments on the Agarata. So in the Chidushi Agode, the Maharsha says, why does it say in the Pasuk, ishish kisista ishtoi, should have said kitata ishtoi? She sways away from the husband. The verb kisista means also listos ben adarch, means to turn away. Mm-hmm. But the same letters, sin tes hei, spell out shin tes hei, shtus. So that's what he says. Even though the decree is kisista, but we understand it to mean tishtekziv. She does a maisa shtus. Whoever does an aver is really temporarily insane. That's why... my father Zichron Racha told me that he remembers in Europe there was a little sefer written by the son-in-law of the Magen Avraham. He didn't tell me what the name of the son-in-law of the Magen Avraham on this kasha. How is anyone ever held responsible for any avera that he does? The Gemara says if a person is itim chalim itim shaita, temporary fits of insanity, he's sometimes normal chalim is healthy and sometimes shaita. So bizman shehu kishaita arei kishaita l'chal dvar, when he has a temporary fit of insanity. So the get is not valid, and the kedusha is not valid, and the avera that he did, nothing counts. So if anyone who does any aver is temporarily insane, so no one should ever be held culpable for any aver. So my father told me that the Morgan Avram Sonala wrote a whole sefer to answer this question. I don't know what the teretz is. Okay. But this is the famous Gemara. Whoever does an aver, it's really stupid, because we should all realize that we're all going to get caught in the end. Everything is going to come out in the end. Tana the Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The right thing to do.
I don't steal because I may get caught. That's not the right answer.
Right? No. You have to do mitzvahs because that's the right thing to do. But people think that they'll get rich.
Get away with it, but the aver blocked.
Yeah, the aver blocked anyway. But it's a temporary shtus that they think they're going to get away with. Everything will become a foursome. Tana the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, we already learned this din. If the husband was Masra Ishtoi, there was Kinoi, then there was Stira, and then there's an Eid Echad who says, I was in the room at that time, and she was talking Mizana with that man that the husband was Choshed her with. So that was a Pasuk, the Eid Ein Bo, that was on the bottom of Beis Amin Aleph. Eid Echad is Neman. Normally, Eid Echad is not Neman by Dovashi B'Yervo. He said, there are three Pesukim, there's one Pasuk. You have to have two Eidim for Didim Omnis. Al Pishnei Eidim, Al Pishlosh Eidim, Yochum Dover. So Yochum Dover goes on Omnis. Then there's another Pasuk, Al Pishnei Eidim, Al Pishlosh Eidim, Yumas Hameis. The Din in the Fashis needs two Eidim. Then there's a third Pasuk, Kimotza Ba'ervas Dover, so there's a Gzereshova Dover Dover Mimomin. Now just like Dinim Omnis need two Eidim, you can't be Moitzim Omnis based on Eid Echot, so too, Dover Shebi'erva needs two Eidim. And anything that's not Mominus, not in the Fashis, and not Dover Shebi'erva is labeled as Isurim. And then Eid Echad is Neman B'Yisur. So here, if you have Kinui Ustira, the husband warned his wife, I'm Chashid you biznus with Pliny, I'll Tistri Mish Pliny. Then she goes ahead and she violates the Hasra, and she does Stira. And then later on, you have an Eid Echad that says that the woman was Takamazana with that man. So then the Pasuk says Eid Echad is believed. It's an exception to the rule. It should have been a Dovish of the Yerva to say the woman is Zinsa. Hey, she says Zinsa, now she has to get divorced. That should certainly be considered. That's the original pasuk of Dovah Shebi'erva. Kimotza ba'ervas Dover. The husband discovers that the wife has mizan. How did he discover based on two Eidim? So this is an exception to the rule. So that's what the Tana Rabbi Shmuel is explaining. Why is it an exception to the rule? That's usually the din that you need two Eidim to testify that the Eish HaSish was Zinsa. So he explains because here it's different. Sharaglaim ledover. Because you have an indication that it's so. It's like a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, that is probably so. Why? Sharikina lo binistira. The husband warned her and she did steer it. Ve'edechad me'ida she'it me'ya. Ve'edechad comes at the icing on top of the cake. So here it's an exception to the rule. Normally you need two Eidim to say Zinsa. And they're following Kina Stira. If the Ve'edechad says she was Zinsa with the same man, so then Kina lo binistira. It's Raglaim Ledov.
Frag the Gemara.
That's the pasuk. Yeah, that's the pasuk. This is the exception to the rule. No. Not to be mechayfa, not for einish misa. No. They can't drink the maim amarim. They can't drink the maim amarim. They have no choice. They have to get divorced. Yeah. It's not based on the svara. He has a pasuk, but he's explaining what the pasuk is based on. So now the Gemara effect, Takasha, this would be good.
He has to divorce her, but does he have to pay the Ksuba? Same question. Because in order to get out of Ksuba, he would normally pay the Ksuba.
I don't know. I've got to look in Shulchan Aruch. Probably says Beferish one way or the other. I would think he does not pay. So now the Gemara is bothered with the Kasher. Rabbi Shmuel is explaining why this is an exception to the rule. The Eid ain't bo, you don't have two Eid, and one Eid is enough to say that Zinsa, following Kinas Tir. Feg the Gemara, that's not the way the Pasuk reads in Chumash. It doesn't say Kinui, Stira, and then Eid ain't bo. It says, Feg the Gemara, Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye, es ta Kasher, v'kiksiv Kinui, says after the stira and after the tumah. So how can you tell me Rabbi Shmuel says it's a raglaim ledove because first there was kinui and then there was stira? That's not the way it sounds in the Chumash. The Chumash, it sounds like the kinui follows the stira, which Stam doesn't make any sense. What do you mean the kinui follows the stira? The whole idea is that she violated his hasra. Mm-hmm. He tells her altistri mishplaini, and even if the ishplaini is her husband, even if the ishplaini is her father, and there's no isa yichud with your father, with your brother, or baila ba'ir, the husband is works in the same city. So there's no isa yichud, but he wants her altistri mishplaini, I'm choshed your biznus, so you shouldn't stay along with him. So then she goes and she does stira. So then she did something wrong. But if you had the pasuk stam doesn't make sense. It says you have stira, then you have, then she's mezana, and then afterwards you have the asura. The stomach doesn't make any sense. What Rabbi Shmuel said is certainly correct, but the Gemara just asking, it doesn't read in the Chumash like that. In the Chumash it reads there was stira, there was znus, and then there was hasra. So how can Rabbi Shmuel reverse the order? So the Gemara says it has to be like this. It has to be the kina first. Mm-hmm. Otherwise the whole story doesn't read straight. That's what he has. Amalera papala abav halkiksiva kinoi basa stira v'tumadukse. The pasuk doesn't read like that. Amalei sabayen says rapapta. Over al over kina means ukvar over. Past perfect. Doesn't mean va'over al over. And now the husband is master his wife. He has already. He had already been master of the wife prior to the stira and prior to the tumah. Ukvar over. Freg di gemara. Is that the meaning of the verb? Is that the meaning of that construction of the verb va'over? Always has the meaning ukvarava. He had already done it. Preg di Gemara, when Moshe Rabbein, when the Bnei God Meruven, the Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe, they didn't want to divide Eretz Yisrael. Originally, the plan was all the Yud Beis Shvatim going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to get parallel to the share in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to get an Eva Yarden, like a parking lot, or like a backyard, or like a grazing area. Everyone gets a section in Eretz Yisrael cities. Then they get a parallel there. Then when they got in there, Reuben said, we have so many flocks, it makes sense that we should have only a share here and don't give us anything in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu originally didn't want, he thought they don't want to participate in the war effort to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Then they said, no, they'll participate. So they said, okay, the Rabbanu Shlomo approves it, we'll divide Eretz Yisrael differently. Instead of everybody getting a strip across, a horizontal piece, share in Eretz Yisrael, share in Yarden, for everyone, everyone will get an area, a different area. So the pasuk says, "Va'alachem kol chalutz." If the soldiers from your 2.5 shvatim will cross over the Yarden to the western side and fight in the battle and conquering Eretz Yisrael, so then the deal is on. So he says, here it says, "Va'over al v'ruach kino." So Abai is translated, "Va'over ukvar al v'ruach kino." He had already. The husband had already warned his wife in advance before the stira and before the tumah. So he says, Ela miyata, what about the other? The verb v'yover appears by Bnei Gadim Neiruven. V'avlachem kol chalutz, hachanami, there it also means they had already. No, we're talking in the future. They're negotiating now. Is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking in the name of the Baruch Shalom? Well, I agree with your deal that you want to get only a share in Eretz Yisrael, or is it going to be like the original plan? Everybody gets a strip. Share in Eretz Yisrael, share in Eibar Yad. So he says, if Mikan al Ahabo, you go help out in the war. Vavar lachem kol chalutz. If Mikan al Ahabo. He says, Hachanami, can you read Pshat Vavar Ukvar Ovar? They had already fought in the war. They didn't fight the battle yet. And for the Gemara, Nein, Hassan, it's from the context of the Pasuk, in both Psukim, by the Saita and by the Bnei Gadim Neiruven. You have to figure out the meaning of the word vava based on the context.
Don't they know the concept then of vava mapeches?
Yeah. So the question is, this construction of this word vava, so it can have different meanings based on the context. In one pasuk it means a kvar vava, the other pasuk means and they will go. Yavru, the vava mapeches, yeah. And for the Gemara, Hasam, and the Chsiv, and Ich, Vishwaz, Hothnei Hashem, Achat Toshuvu, there it's obvious based on the context. It means if you will cross over the Yarden and fight, not that they had already fought. They didn't start the battle yet on Kibush Eretz Yisrael. But over here, Elohacha, but over here in the Parsha of Soita, Isal Gadaitach Kidich Sivi, if you're going to read the Psukim the way they say, first the Stira, then the Tuma, then the Kinui. So it doesn't make any sense for Chlav. Ova Basa Tuma Stira. He's going to warn his wife not to be Mizana after you already have Edom that she was Mizana. So the Gemara says, Stam doesn't make any sense. Kinui lomali. What's the role of the Hasra after you already had the stira and after you already had the znus? So that's why in our pasuk, based on the context, what Baba means, the husband had already been master his wife. Now the Gemara is going to go back to the thing that we started before. When the pasuk says v'kinei es ishtoi, is that a rishus or is that a chayva? It's a mitzvah or is that an iser? So the Gemara says Tanad bei Rabbi Shmuel ein ala mikanei liishta. A husband will only want his wife al tishpim lemishplani elam kein nichnasa baruach. He has to be seized with a certain attitude, as it says in the pasuk v'avar alo avruach kinei mikinei es ishtoi. Question is, what kind of an attitude? Is that a holy attitude or an unholy attitude? Is it a ruach? Yeah, one said ruach. She has a ruach shtus. His sister Ishtar, the wife, has a ruach shtus when she does the avera. But here we're discussing the husband's ruach. When the husband wants the wife al tishri imish plaini, is that a proper ruach, an improper ruach? With two different things. The ruach shtus is on the part of the wife, and the shot is what kind of a ruach is it on the part of the husband? No, but that pasuk goes kisis te ishtoi. That pasuk goes on what the wife did. So she had a ruach shtus to sin. But the question is, when the husband wants her, is that a sin? Is that improper? So it's also improper. Also ruach shtus, or is it permissible, or is it a mitzvah? So the Gemara is going to present all the three opinions. So first they say, Rabbi Shmuel says, quoted in the Braisa, he has to be seized. The husband to want his wife has to be in a certain mood. A normal husband, under normal circumstances, the people in this room, whoever want their wife, autistic, English, plenty, under normal circumstances, a husband does want his wife. So it must be, you have to be in a special mood. So that's the machlekes. What kind of a mood is it? Is it a holy mood? Or is it a very unholy mood? Or is it a neutral? So that's going to be the machlekes. So the Gemara says, my ruach, what kind of an attitude, what kind of a mood? Rabbanan Amri, ruach tuma. The Amoraim from before, they hold that it's also lakanas, they hold the overall of ruach kino, is a ruach tuma, it's improper, it's also lakanas. Rav Ashi, Amar ruach tahara. He thinks that it's a mitzvah lakanas, there's nothing wrong. When Mistavra commanded Amar, the Gemara says, we think we should paskin like Rav Ashi, commanded Amar ruach tahara. Why did Tanya, we have a machlekes hatanoim, regarding that pasuk, the kine yesishtoi. The Tanya, we have a braise, the kine yesishtoi rishus divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, when it says the husband wants his wife, altistri mishplaini, that's not one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, that a husband should want his wife when he thinks that she's not being faithful. It's a rishus, it's optional if he wants to. Normally, it shouldn't cause any friction in the family, but if the husband thinks his wife is not acting properly, so it's permissible too. It's a rishus. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. It's a chayva. Rabbi Akiva thinks that it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. That's the Tosfos on the top of the Amud raises that question. We spoke about it last week or 2 weeks ago. The Gemara says in the end of Makkos, the last daf in Makkos, that there's 613 mitzvahs. So here there are going to be three psukim, which Rabbi Akiva claims are mitzvahs, and Rabbi Shmuel denies it. He says these three psukim are not mitzvahs, they're rishus. So what does it come out? According to Rabbi Akiva, there's 616 mitzvahs. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there are only 613. Or according to Rabbi Akiva, there's 613. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, there are only 610. There are three mitzvahs that Rabbi Akiva counts and Rabbi Shmuel deletes. So what's with the magical number 613? So Taisa says, no, there's so many other psukim, like in the Sefer HaMitzvahs L'Harambam. Rama gives you his list, and then the Ramban deletes a whole bunch of the mitzvahs. He replaces other mitzvahs instead. Then he deletes a whole bunch of loises, and he replaces others instead. So Taisa said, that's apparently what Rabbi Shmuel is going to do over here. He'll juggle around other psukim which Rabbi Akiva does not consider mitzvahs. Rabbi Shmuel will consider that those are mitzvahs. So the Gemara says there's a machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel on three psukim. So the first pasuk is, Rabbi Shmuel says it's rishus, and Rabbi Kiva thinks that it's a chayva, it's a mitzvah. So if you hold that it's a ruach tuma, if it's an improper thing, a ruach tuma, so neither opinion makes any sense. How can it be a mitzvah that a man should be in a state of a ruach tuma? How can it be a rishus? Torah gives the husband permission. If you want to, you can be mekana liishtucha. Why? If it's a ruach tuma, so the Torah gives me permission to act, to be seized with a ruach atuma. Yamer b'shleim ruach tahara. If you say ruavah al ruach kina means a ruach tahara. Shaper, I understand. Rabbi Shmuel, I understand. Rabbi Akiva, you can say it's a mitzvah. You can say rishus. Eli yamer ruach tuma. But if you hold that it's an improper mood to be in, rishus v'chayvul yuli in ish ruach tuma. But afshe, so nishken rishus, nishken mitzvah. Neither makes any sense. So it must be that the famous Tanai, Rabbi Kiyah, Rabbi Shmuel, they both think that it's a Ruach Tahara. It's not a Ruach Tumah. So the one opinion, Osa Lakanas Es Ishta, it's Osa to be Mekane, because it's a Ruach Tumah. It's not a normal thing. And we assume, like Rabbi Kiyah, Rabbi Shmuel, that's the majority opinion, Mistabra Kamandama, Ruach Tahara, because otherwise it wouldn't be a Rishus or a Chayva. Then the Gemara goes back to that Bryce. Why should it be a mitzvah lakanais? Why should it be a mitzvah lakanais? So Taisus has a fascinating, the top Taisus has a fascinating quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that there was a Tana Rablezer, Rablezer ben Hurkinus, and the Gemara says, we rarely pass, Rablezer HaGodol, we rarely pass like Rablezer. The Gemara says, why? Because Rablezer Shamutihu, he was from the Beis Shammai. Rashi says on that Gemara that Rablezer Shamute, they put him in Cherem. They put him in Shamta. That's why we rarely paskan like him. And Tosis quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that that's not what it means. They didn't really put him in Cherem. The Gemara says they acted as if they put him in Cherem, but they never really put him in Cherem. And Rav Lezer Shamute means, the Yerushalmi says he was from the Beis Shammai, and that's why he was so sharp, Rav Lezer HaGadol, because the Beis Shammai were always very sharp. They had the bigger geniuses. And that's why we rarely paskan like him, because he was in the minority. The Beis Shammai was usually a minority, so that's why they were usually outvoted. Because of the Cherem, yeah. They didn't allow him to come to the Beis Medrash, right? So Rashi learns that it was a real Cherem. They really put him a Cherem. And the other Rishonim said they only acted as if they put him a Cherem. They weren't going to put him a Cherem. It was such a great going. So they acted as if he was in Cherem. So Rav Lezer holds like the Beis Shammai. So what has it got to do with anything? So in the end of Maseches Gittin, the very end, the last daf in Gittin is the Machlokes HaTanoim. What are valid grounds for divorce? So Beis Shammai, grounds for divorce. If a husband gives his wife a get today, out of the clear blue sky, the get is chal. If he gives a get bal korcha, the get is chal. We're not talking whether the get is chal. We're talking, is it proper, is it permissible for the husband to divorce his wife? When is it permissible for the husband to divorce his wife? So Beis Shammai are of the opinion only, as it says in Chumash, ki motzabo erbas dover. Only if he caught that the wife was mezana, anything less than that, it's not proper. If he gave her a get, the get will be chal. Taisus quotes the Yerushalmi, the get will be chal. The Shammai not going to disagree that a get is chal bal korcha, but there really no grounds for divorce other than znus. Right. And then the other Tanoim say, no, even if higdicha tafshilo, if she's not a good cook, she's not a good balabasta, she doesn't know how to take care of the house, she doesn't know how to wash the laundry and so on, She's not a good balabasta, it's permissible to divorce your wife. Then Rabbi Kiva says, Afila Motzacheris Nohimen, even if she's a good balabasta, but originally he fell in love, and now he fell out of love. He met someone else who's better looking, he fell out of love. Rabbi Kiva happened to be married three different wives, one after the other, but each wife died. First wife died, second wife died, then he married the third wife. One of them was a Gioris. Yeah. Asius Tumas Rufus, yeah. So Rabbi Kiyah is very strange. Matzacheres Noimene. The wife is a wonderful balabasta. She had tzadekis. He fell out of love. He met someone else. He met someone else who looks prettier. So he's allowed to divorce her. So the Yerushalmi says, if you hold like Beis Shammai, that the only grounds for divorce is if zinsa, otherwise it's not proper to give a get. So what's the husband supposed to do if he's choshed the wife that she's being mizana? He'll go to the Bezin and say, I want to divorce my wife. I think she's being misadar. The Bezin will not be misadar a get. They won't allow him to give a get. It's improper. It's an avera. Hotan ishken breira. If you hold, I fell out of love, she nishken balabosta, I can have other reasons why. So let him not warn his wife of tistri mishploni. He'll give her a get based on some other grounds. But if you all like Rablezer holds like Meshamai, Ablezer Shamuti, so the only grounds for divorce, the only heter to give your wife a get is if Zinso, Hotanish Cambrera. So if he thinks.
But he can't live with her. He asked her on himself. When he made that statement, he made her, he can't live with her anymore.
He has to, but that's where Ablezer says he has to warn her. But he's not going to warn her. Maybe she's being Mizan and she's Asura al Bailo. And he can't divorce his Tamazoi because the only grounds for divorce that the Bezdin will accept is if Zinso. So he has no prayer, so he has to warn her. And then she'll become, if she'll have stira, then she'll become Asur al Baila. So he'll have to divorce her, fine.
But in other words, there's no stira, just by warning her by himself.
Warning along, she doesn't become Asura, if she'll be Nistura afterwards. So that's what Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi. Why does anybody in his right mind say that it's a mitzvah lakanais? It's a mitzvah to want a wife. So the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Leizer says like that. We have in the Bavli, Rabbi Akiva says like that. Rabbi Akiva holds even Motzah Acheres Noahim, and you can divorce your wife. So why should it be a mitzvah lakanais? But the Yerushalmi is explaining Rabbi Leizer's opinion. Rabbi Leizer was Shamuta. He was from the Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said the only grounds for divorce is zinsa. So what if the husband thinks that the wife is being mizana, but he doesn't have any edim? So maybe that she's asur al bailo. So he better be mekani lo to put an end to this nus. So it's a mitzvah lakana is to try to make sure that he doesn't continue to live in sin with his wife. So now the Gemara quotes back again this brisa gufa. The Bryce had quoted a machlekes of Akiva Rabbi Shmuel regarding this pasuk gikines ishtoi, but it's really there are three psukim where they disagree. Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel disagree. Gufa, let's go back to the Bryce. Gikines ishtoi rishus the Rabbi Shmuel. It's optional. It's permissible if he wants to. He can warn the wife al tistri mishplani, but it's nishke mitzvah is not mechuyiftem. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Chayva. Then the Bryce quotes the second pasuk and the third pasuk, the three psukim where they argue. It says a kohen is not permitted to be metame to any mason except for the seven relatives, and if he has a sister who has never married to anyone, then he's permitted to be metame. Then it says kiim l'shei rakor nefesh leitame biyama. A kohen is not allowed to be metame to mason kiim l'shei rakor avelov unless it's one of the relatives. Rechon zayis all the relatives. Then he repeats again to the sister lo yitama. Why does he repeat again lo yitama? So that's machlekes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva says it's repeated to tell you it's a mitzvah. All the seven relatives, it's a mitzvah. And if the kohen doesn't want to attend the funeral, he doesn't want to be mitame. Mitame no sa bal korchoi. You force him to be mitame. That's what Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on the Yomot, quotes that from Zvachim Daf Kuf. There was a bizman bai sheni. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel had this machlekes after the Churban Abayis. But already bizman bai sheni. This was a machloikas generation after generation. How do you read the pasuk lo yitama? That the kohen is permitted to be mitame to the seven relatives, or the kohen is obligated to be mitame to the seven relatives? So the Gemara tells the story there. There was a Yosef HaKohen, his wife died, and he didn't want to be mitame. He wanted to continue being makor kabbalas and based on mikdash, whatever. He didn't want to get involved. So it says, v'timu echa b'kohen in bal korcha. They pushed him. They made him mitame because the din was already on genuman like Rabbi Akiva. Before the days of Rabbi Akiva, it was Bizman Abayis already. The din was like that. Lo yitama choyva. So that's the second machlekes of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. The third machlekes is the pasuk says if you have an eved ivri, so the eved ivri goes free at sheish at the end of 6 years. Whenever you bought him, when the 6 years come to an end, so he goes free. You bought him on Tu B'Shvat. So 6 years later, Tu B'Shvat, he goes free, or he goes free when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, whichever comes first. But if you have an Eved Kenani, he doesn't go free when it comes to Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. He doesn't go free after 6 years. The pasuk says, Le'olam mehem tavoidu. So what does that mean? So Rabbi Yishmael says that it's a reshus. If you don't want to, you never have to let him free. But if you want to let him free, gizuntahei, give it away, why not? You want to be mafkir some, you want to be mafkir your property, you want to free the Eved Kenani, gizuntahei. Rabbi Kiva says, no, ha-mashachar avda over be'esei. That's what the Gemara says. You're in violation of the essay. Le'olam mehem tavoidu. The Gemara has like that in Gittin. Yeah, that's how the Gemara says that they. Right, the Gemara said they needed a minion. There were only nine people in the shul. They needed a minion, so one of the Tanai was Meshachar his Eved. The Makom Mitzvah. So he was gaining. He got Tefillah B'Tzibur and he got the Davish Bigdusha by it. So the Gemara says then it's Mutan. But under normal circumstances, it's also to be Meshachar the Eved. So the Gemara quotes these three machloikas. So what's the nekuda of the machloikas? So the Braisa puts together three psukim, it sort of conveys an impression as if it's all the shitasai. How could it be? What's the shitasai over here? That is one common denominator. So the Gemara says, Amale Rapapa Labaye. Another version has it, the Ramasharsha said to Rava, somebody either asked Abai or Rava. They were both contemporaries. So somebody either asked Abai, someone else asked Rava. Should I say Leimer Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Akiva? Maybe it's a general machlekes and kol haterakula. These three are all the shitasa. Should I say Leimer b'chol haterakula hachi pligi demar amar reshus amar amar chayva? Is there such a thing as a reshus? Do you have to interpret everything in the world is black on white? Either it's a mitzvah or it's an aver. No such thing as optional. That's how the Chovis Halvavos writes. That's how the Chovis Halvavos writes. There's a Sefer Yisod V'Shara Shavoida that's written by one of the big Bali Musa who lived in Vilna in the times of the Vilna Gaon. So he quotes this. This is Klola Hayofa Shabal Chovis Halvavos. Chovis Halvavos says there's no gray area in halacha. Everything is black or white. Either you're mechuyev to do it. Let's say I had dinner tonight. Was I allowed to eat all of that? See, if I'm hungry and it's healthy and it's nutritious and I haven't eaten the whole day, then it's a mitzvah to eat it. And the cake at the end, that was an avera. I didn't have any cake. The cake at the end, I could have lived without it. That's fattening. That's an avera. Unless I'm undernourished and I'm a little depressed and I need some cake to cheer me up, then I'm mechuyev to have the cake. Or you go on vacation, let's say. So either if you need the vacation, you're mechuyev to go on vacation. And if you have to relax, you're mechuyev to relax. Whether you like it or not, you're mechuyev to relax. And if you don't need the relaxation, then it's an aver. It's bittul teretz ibudzman. You're not allowed to. That's why he says everything. So we say there's a gray area. There is no gray. There's a gray area that these activities, eating chaz is always an aver. And shaking a lulav on sukkah is always a mitzvah. Putting on talis and tefillin is always a mitzvah. There are certain areas, eating the dessert and eating extra food and not eating so much food, we call it a gray area. It means sometimes it's an aver and sometimes it's a mitzvah. Sometimes it's black and sometimes it's white. But there is no such thing. That's what the Chovis Halvavos says. There is no such thing as a gray area that's rishus. It doesn't exist. Nothing is rishus. Everything is either chayva, either you're mechuyev to do it or you're not allowed to do it. So that perhaps is what the Gemara is driving at. Lema, should I say that this is the machlekes hatanaim? Can you say that there's such a thing as a dvar hoshus? If you want, it can be metami to the mace. If you don't want, you don't have to be metami to the mace. So the Gemara raises the possibility. Maybe Rabbi Kiva holds there's never such a thing as dvar hoshus. Everything is either a chayva or an avera. There's no such thing as a dvar hoshus. Rabbi Shmuel says the way we usually assume. There are a lot of things that are dvar hoshus. It's optional. You want to go to the funeral, zuntay. You don't want to go. The kohen does want to go to the funeral of his sister, so don't go to the funeral. It's a rishus.
Every mitzvah is rishus.
No. There's certainly.
Well, it should be equal. If you say that Rabbi Kibble say everything is a chova, then the opposite would be everything rishus.
No, not everything. He says that there is such a thing as a rishus. Rabbi Kibble says there is no such thing. Like the Chovis Halvavos, Rabbi Shmuel says there is. So every pasuk you have to analyze based on the context. When it says you shake a lulav, is that a nice idea, or it means you're obligated to shake a lulav? So by the lulav and by the tzitzis and by the shofar and by the sukkah means you have to. And over here, these sukkim, based on the context, they think that these mean rishus. But he's gairus that there is such a thing as a dvar rishus, optional. And Rabbi Kiva's chalik, there is no such thing as optional. So it sounds as if the Gemara was suggesting, lema Rabbi Kiva holds like that chayvus halvavus. Klala hayofa shabal chayvus halvavus. Then the Gemara comes out, no, nobody holds like the chayvus halvavus. The Gemara's maskana, everybody holds that such a thing as dvar rishus. That's why it's a pella. Why is it such a klala hayofish of Baal Chavis Havavis? It's against the Maskanas HaGemara. This is not bad to interpret the Havamina. Leima b'hokam b'fligi the Rebbe Kiva holds there's never such a thing. The kola tarukula has to be chayva. No such thing as vishus. So but when he answers, either Rabbi answered or Rabbi answered, whoever they were asking, Amalei, so he answered, no, hocha b'groi pligi. Each one of the three machlokes is unrelated to the other one. Each one is based on the context. How do you read the psukim? And everybody agrees that there's such a thing as a dvar hoshus. And the three psukim doesn't have to be lushitos. If you hold like Rabbi Kiva in one, you don't necessarily have to hold like Rabbi Kiva in the other two. Each one is separate. A little bit. The Gemara is going to still make that it's a little bit lushitos. We'll continue, we'll see. So he says, no, hocha b'kroi pligi. The machlekes really is, how do you read the psukim? It says, v'kini esish the rishus, the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva mechayva. The Brisa repeat again, my time of the Rabbi Shmuel, what leads Rabbi Shmuel to believe that the Kines Ishta is Rishus? So the Gemara says, Sobaloki Haitan, Rabbi Shmuel thinks like the following comment. The Tanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankin Feimer, another Tanya says, we have a din in the Chumash Lasisna Sachicha Bilvavecho, Klapi Shamar Torah Lasisna Sachicha Bilvavecho, you have to show love for everybody, you have to get along with all the other Jews. So here the husband's going to warn his wife, I'm choshed you business. I'm tistri and mishplani. That's a way to act with your wife. That's the way to talk. So yochel kegonzu. Maybe then you have to be lovey dovey and treat all the Jews with dignity and respect and so on and so forth. It even applies if you choshed your wife business. Nay, talmudam v'avala ruach kina v'kina ishta. This is an exception to the rule. Normally you're not allowed to talk it's an improper way to talk to another person. I'm choshed your business, and to go warn him. But in such a circumstance, the husband has grounds to think that there's something going on. So he's permitted to do it. So the pasuk just says it's mutter. So the pasuk only tells you rishus. So how does Rabbi Kiva come off to say that it's a chayva? So he says no, because it says twice v'kineh es ishtei. So if it would have only been written once v'kineh es ishtei, means that it's a rishus, that it's not a violation of the sisna sachicha b'lavecha. It's an exception to the rule. Here he's allowed to start up. Here he's allowed to make trouble. But the fact that it says a second time, Rabbi Kiva kineh achrita ksiv, it says a second time v'kineh es ishtei twice. So the second time must be implying that it's a chayva, that it's a mitzvah to do. Fregma v'Rabbi Yishmael. Why doesn't Rabbi Shmuel realize it says v'kineh es ishtei twice in the parsha? So if it would have only been written once, he can say v'kineh es ishtei means it's an exception to the rule of l'sisna sachicha. But now that it says a second time, isn't that a good argument to Rabbi Kiva? So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Shmuel holds, and for the Gemara, I did the boy lemichta v'hinitma v'hiloinitma. The pasuk says like this: he brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash and he wants her to drink the Maim Hamorim. So the pasuk says, he was over al baruch kinim v'kinis ishta v'nistera v'hinitma. Over al baruch kinim v'kinis ishta v'nistera v'hiloinitma. We don't know exactly what happens. So he brings her to the Beis Hamikdash. So the pasuk has to say twice. He warned his wife, and we don't know what the end of the story was, whether she was mezana or she was not mezana. So Rabbi Shmuel says, whenever the pasuk has to repeat something, like over here, the hen and the lav, we don't know what happened. So even though so much of the pasuk is repeated, it's really redundant. It's really miyuta. There was no reason to repeat so much. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, I did the boy lemichtav. Since the pasuk had to say behi nitma behi loy nitma, he wanted to say, we don't know whether she was mezana, she was not mezana. So kasev name bikines ishtoi, the pasuk repeats the whole phrase, even though it's really unnecessary, and it doesn't teach me anything at all. Kedatana de bei Rabbi Shmuel, as we know, the famous opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, it was a big machlek of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Do you say dibur Torah k'lishem b'nei Adam, or lo dibur Torah k'lishem b'nei Adam? Our Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says a lot of times pasach tiftach hanek tanek nosim titin mos yumas. A lot of times a verb is repeated. So Rabbi Akiva thinks lo dibur Torah k'lishem b'nei Adam. The Chumash was not dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu with extra words and extra letters. Every word has some kind of a meaning. So whenever you have the Shonas Kvulim, you have to darshan something. Why does it say it twice? And Rabbi Shmuel thinks, no, Dibur Torah K'lishay Meri Adam. People talk like that. People say extra words and extra phrases. So here also, if you have to have, I had to have the pasuk to say, the husband of Chayshad wife is Nus, and we don't know whether she was Mizana or not Mizana. So the pasuk gives the whole repeat, everything repeated. So that's the Brisa.
How did the
tribe
with
Rabbi
Shmuel, Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, if anything is different from Moshe Adam, so how do you make these limuds and how can you darsh it?
Why not?
Because just don't. Why you gonna make you darsh what people talk to each other? How can you be darshing something?
No. If you have the shinus kfulim, so he doesn't darsh. Or if you have a kefil, you have a verb that's repeated, or a whole phrase that's repeated. Part of the phrase has to be repeated, but we repeated the whole phrase. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's the way people talk. If you have a legal document, a lot of times there's so much extra nusach there, they keep on repeating things.
So
the Chumash will sometimes repeat a phrase unnecessarily, repeat a verb unnecessarily, repeat a phrase. He talks about klal prat klal, that's not the way people talk. Right. So that can't be based on dibur Torah k'lishon b'nei Adam. That must be the Baruch Shalom dictated like that because he meant you to read in between the lines. But if you have just a kefil, either nosen titn hanek tank, something like that, or a phrase is repeated, a whole phrase is repeated, so then Rabbi Shmuel says it doesn't necessarily mean anything. You don't have to darshan every single word, every letter in the Chumash. And we usually assume, like Rabbi Akiva, that lo dibur Torah k'lishon b'nei Adam, we darshan every extra repeated phrase, every extra repeated verb means something.
Yeah,
why not?
Because he's stuck. He can't prove it.
The Gemara gives an eight, so you shouldn't do it on the assumption that it's not a chayva. If you hold that it's a chayva,
that's
maybe
yeah.
Not necessarily. I don't think it's necessarily so. Yeah. The Rishalmi said within Reb Lezer, the Tana Reb Lezer says it's a mitzvah lekanas because he holds like Beishamai. The only grounds for divorce is znus. So if he thinks his wife is being mizanis, he better do something about it. Otherwise, the best won't be misadar get for him. But Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold like that. Rabbi Kiva holds not tzacheres noahemeno. And still Rabbi Kiva holds. Rabbi Kiva holds that it's a chayva to be mekane, not like the Rishalmi l'shitosa. It's not based on Beishamai shita. Rabbi Kiva is the biggest makel there at the end of Gittin. But tzacheres noahemeno can give a get. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Kiva says the fact that it says twice v'kinei sishta is an indication. The first time would mean that it's muta. The second time means that you're mechuyev to. Rabbi Shmuel says no. I did it by the michta. Since you want to repeat that phrase, so you repeat the whole phrase. At the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, kaparsha shenemar v'nishnas l'nishnas el b'shul davish and eschadish bo. You have l'mashal. It said there's a din a metzora who becomes cured. Has to bring all the karbonos. And if he can't afford to bring bashiras, then he brings it bedalos. So the parsha repeats the whole story from the beginning to the end. That you put the dama bon yod haimonis, bon ragla haimonis, and ozno. Everything is repeated over there. So Rabbi Shmuel says, a lot of times you need one aspect, you need one pasuk to be repeated. So the parsha repeats all the psukim, even though it's really unnecessary. Rabbi Kiva insists, no, every single word in that second repeat of the parsha has a meaning. And the same thing by the Oledas. It says if the Oledas can't afford to bring the Korban Bashirish, it brings Bani, Bedalus. So certain sections of the Korban Oledas are repeated also seemingly unnecessarily. So Rabbi Shmuel says, you don't have to have any explanation. They had to repeat it because certain aspects are different. Everything else is exactly the same. Let it just say Kanal, as mentioned above. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Gonish, that doesn't mean anything. And Rabbi Kiva says, no. You have to darshan every extra word that's there. The Torah wouldn't write any extra words. So that's what the Gemara says. This machlekes Rabbi Kiva Yishmael is, Taka, it says twice, v'kinei sishta. And Rabbi Kiva says that's significant. Rabbi Yishmael says a repeated phrase is not significant. Then the Gemara says that's what it's going to boil down to, the second shayla also. Lo yitame reshuz de Rabbi Yishmael kiva mechayva. My time of the Rabbi Yishmael. Why does Rabbi Yishmael think that the kohen is not obligated to be mitame to the seven relatives? It's permissible if he wants to. So he explains based on the context, based on the background. I did dichsev, you have a pasuk that says in the beginning of Emor, Emor lekana b'nei Aharon amata, leima nevishli tama b'yama, a kohen is not permitted to be mitamit any meis. So one might have thought even the seven relatives also, itzach l'michtav, lo yitama, he's permitted to be mitamit to the seven relatives. Lo yitama is a reshus. Rabbi Akiva says, shtei tachshayin is mutter. It says, except for the seven relatives. It says about except for the seven relatives. So why does it say again, lo yitama? That's a repeat. So the fact that it says lo yitama must be teaching me something new I didn't know until now. So up until now it says ki'im l'sheiro. That means that it's permissible. Now that it says lo yitama means that you're mechuyev to. Lo yitama lama li l'chayva. It's repeated. The Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Lo yitama means something else. Lo yitama means ve'enem itami le'ivareha. That's a different story. The kohen is only permitted. Rabbi Shmuel holds kohen is not obligated, never obligated to be mitami to the seven relatives. He's permitted to be mitami to the seven relatives only if the whole person dies. What if they cut off? They had to amputate a leg. They had to cut off an evam and achai. So the din is an evam and achai is mitami kemeis. It's mitami b'magam emasa ba'ohol mamish lakemeis. So one might have thought that just like the kohen is obligated, just like the kohen is permitted, according to Rabbi Shmuel, never obligated. Just like the kohen is permitted to be mitame to the seven relatives when they die. So one might have thought, let's say they amputated my father's leg. Let's say I'm a kohen, my father's a kohen, I'm a kohen. They amputated the leg. So just like if my father would die, I would be permitted to be mitame for the purpose of kvura. So if they amputated a leg, I would think I'm permitted to be mitame to that leg. So the pasuk says lo yitama lama means the whole body. If the whole person, the seven relatives, if the whole person died, only lo yitama v'ena mitama le'ivareha. There's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch. What's the din? if they amputate a leg from a live person, is there a mitzvah skvura on that leg? So the Nedi Behuda, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, the Pischei Tshuva quote. Nedi Behuda lived in the 1700s, so the Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s, I'm not going to quote the Nedi Behuda. But on the bottom of the page, the Pischei Tshuva quotes, the Nedi Behuda says that there is no mitzvah of kvura on a limb, on an organ, even though it's metame like a mace, the person is still alive, there's no mitzvah of kvura. The mitzvah kvur kovetik v'rena b'yam mahu. The mitzvah kvur l'sol nevlos ha'etz, when the person died, not when an organ is dead. He just recommends you shouldn't leave. Let's say a person amputated a limb, so you're going to leave it around in the hospital room, or you're going to leave it around at home, so kohanim can't come in. A kohen is not allowed to be metamei to eiv menachai, just like he's not allowed to be metamei to a mace. So mishum michshol l'kohanim, we should recommend they should dispose of it. But it's not ton kever Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah kvur. So if you want, let's say in the hospital, whenever they amputate a limb, so they either destroy it, they incinerate it, or they're going to bury it in a big burial plot. So according to Nedi Behuda, fine gesundheit. You don't have to waste any money to bury it to Kebi Yisrael. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he disagrees with the Nedi Behuda. And he says that based on this Gemara, they said that Rav Moshe was so excited about his raya, that's why he would always say it over every year. He has a raya in the Gemara against the Nedi Behuda. The Gemara has a havamina here that a kohen is permitted. According to Rabbi Shmuel, a kohen is never obligated to be mitame to the seven relatives. Permitted to. So the Gemara had a havamina, a kohen would be permitted to be mitame to the Eva Menachai of one of the seven relatives. Why permitted to be mitame? What's the whole Yisrael Adin that the kohen is permitted to be mitame if the seven relatives die? So in Shulchan Aruch it says, because it's a chi of kvura. It says on Shabbos, when you don't bury the mace, the kohen is not allowed to be metame to the mace. Let's say a man is in the hospital and is on his deathbed, a kohen, and his son is there, a kohen, and he dies on Shabbos. So the son has to leave the hospital. He's not allowed to be metame to the father on Shabbos, because he can't do the kvura on Shabbos. The heter for the kohanim to be metame, or we paskin the chiyuv. We paskin like Rabbi Kiva. It's not only a heter, it's a chiyuv. The heter, or the obligation of the kohen to be metame to the seven relatives, is in the line of fulfilling the mitzvah of kvura. So Shabbos you don't do any kvura, so you're not allowed to be metame. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, why do you need a pasuk to tell me lo metame ve'ne metame le'ivareho? The kohen is not allowed to be metame to an eiv menachai. If the Nedi Behuda is right that there's no mitzvah kvura, so of course it's not permissible for the kohen to be metame. So you see from the Gemara's Havamina that there is a mitzvah kvura on the eiv menachai, and that's why I would have thought that because there's a mitzvah kvura, the kohen is permitted to be metame. So kamash mal on the pasuk that not. That's what Rav Moshe has in his tshuva. What does the Nedi Behuda do with the Gemara? So the Nedi Behuda says that was the Havamina. But what's the maskana? Maskana is that it's all wrong, that there's no chivkur. But Rav Moshe was so excited about his pshat and the Havamina, so he didn't change it when it comes to the maskana. He thought even lefia maskana, it's a din that you're not mechuyev to be metame, the kohen is not allowed to be metame to the Eve Menachai, but still there is a mitzvah kvur. That's a shaila. Does this point in the Havamina change in the maskana or not? So Rabbi Shmuel holds at that pasuk lo yitame. Rabbi Kiva holds it says kiim a kohen is not allowed to be metame to anybody except kiim l'sheira, except if it's one of the seven relatives. Then it says again lo yitame tzveitamo. So the second time means that it's no longer optional; it's obligatory. Rabbi Shmuel says no. Lo yitame tells me a different thing. Only lo yitame to the whole organism, to the whole body, but even achai not. And what does Rabbi Kiva hold? There, Rabbi Akiva im kain. If you're going to say, like Rabbi Shmuel, that it's not an obligation, it's just optional to be mitami to the seven relatives, in Ken Lichter Rachman Allah, why does it say again, lo yitamo? It should say somewhere in the middle, it shouldn't say again the verb yitamo. I don't know how exactly the pasuk would read, but you shouldn't repeat just the verb yitamo. Should just say the word lo. And law would tell me only to the whole organism, only if the whole person died, and Eiv Menachai not Vilishtek. Let the pasuk should end. Yitama lomali. Why does it say lo yitama? Shma mina that you mechuyev to be mitame. So that taka, this is the din. This is the din. A kohen is not permitted to be metamei to evim and achayim of the seven relatives. Only he's only permitted and obligated. We pass like Rabbi Kiva. Permitted and obligated to be metamei to the mace when the whole relative dies. But if it's just an evim and achayim, he's not allowed to be metamei. Is there a chiyuv kvura or not? So that's the havamin of the Gemara was clearly that there was a mitzvah kvura and an evim and achayim. The shaila is when you get to the maskana, the pasuk says not so. Do we back out from that havamin? And that's how the Nadi Behuda says that burying the limb that was cut off, menachai, that was amputated, is only mishum michshel kohanim. Or no, the havamin remains that it's still a mitzvah of kvura. Later. So that's the top tesis on Amid Beis, Gimel Amid Beis. Top Taisus, they quote a Gemara from Nazir. The Gemara in Nazir says, commenting on the pasuk, it says, "Nefesh leitame biyamav kim l'sherakav lo'aviv li'imoy." So the Gemara says, "Lo'aviv bizman shu shalom lezman shu chaser." I don't know. Taisus changed the lashon of Gemara. It doesn't say the way Taisus read. "Lo'aviv bizman shu leivor." It says, "Bizman shu chaser." He's not mitame. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlekes. What does that mean? A big machlekes achreinim. There are advaz and others. Some achreinim say it means like this: if the relative died, and after he died, they did an autopsy. They cut something out of the body after he died. So the body, and now the question is whether the son is permitted to participate in the father's funeral. So that's the Gemara. Whenever they change the body, whenever they cut off part of the body after death, that's not the same body that it was at the time of death, that is not allowed to be metame. What if they amputated a leg while the father was alive and he lived another 50 years? And then the father dies. So then many hold that the son is metame, is mechuyev to be metame to the father, because nothing changed after death. And then there's a minority opinion of Shulchan Aruch that even if they amputated something while the father was alive, and then 50 years later he died, that's the halacha, bizman shu shalom lo bizman shu chaser. If the body is chaser, unless he was born missing a finger. If he was born missing a finger, so there's nothing chaser. But if he's born with five fingers on each hand, and then he lost a finger in the war or something, or they cut off his ear in the war or something, so then it's a machlekes achreinim.
Put the body together afterwards. In other words, my wife's uncle died. The foot was buried one Sunday. They actually dug up the foot and they put it together.
That's the minig. The achai, the pischei shiva quotes, that's the minig. That we do kvura on the evim and achai, even if you're like the Nadi Behuda, you're not mechuyev to, but the meaning is, you don't let the hospital incinerate it. You don't let the hospital bury it in the general cemetery plot. You do kvura on the evim and achai, and then you keep track where it is, and then after Me'ev Yasim Shana, when the person whose leg was amputated, when he dies, so the achrayim right, the meaning is that you take that evim and you bury it together.
Is that considered shalim now?
No, that's not shalim. If you hold Lubbis Manshu Chaser, means even if they amputated a leg while he was alive, so when he dies, he's missing an Aver. Most say that Chaser only means if they did an autopsy after death.
What about internal organs? Are they missing the spleen, or he's missing,
I mean, they removed the kidney, they removed something. I don't know. It's a good Shaila. What? The kidney is also an eva menacha. Usually eva means here, this is an eva. Bosa gidin vatsamas. This is one bone, another bone, another bone here. On this finger, there are three bones, there are three evarim. But then if you have a kidney, even though there's no bone, you have a tongue. So it's an eva shalem. Whenever you have an eva shalem, see, this is really, it's one finger. So I say each bone is another. That's one eva, second eva, third eva, and so on. But if you have a tongue or a kidney, that's an entire organ. So that has a din of Eiver Nachai, even though it doesn't have a Gidin Batzomis. Just has Bosa. Yeah.
The guy has a kidney, Cohen has a kidney transplant. And the guy has the kidney in the tongue? Cohen has a kidney transplant.
I mean, the kidney that they removed, they gave him a different one.
From Yisrael.
I don't know. That's Eva Mibifnim. The Gemara has in Bcharis, there's a whole sugi whether Mechusar Eva applies to the Evarim Shebimifnim. Whether Chisar Mibifnim Shmei Chisar and Anat. Maybe it's related to here. I don't know. It's a good shaila.
So at this point, do we bury the internal
organ, like the kidney? Yeah. According to Rav Moshe, it's a mitzvah kvura, and according to the Nari Behuda, it's not a mitzvah kvura, but it's mishum hashach shmichshol lekohanim, that a kohen shouldn't walk into the room and become tamei tumas soil. And the minhag has it that later, after the person dies, lachem eres hamshana, you bring that kidney and you bury it over here. Some people bury teeth. My dentist told me that some people are makbid. Whenever they pull a tooth, they bury the tooth. So that's a shtickle, a joke. The teeth. The Achrayim make fun of that. Yeah. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 children. He had 10 sons who died. He had daughters, but all of his 10 sons died. So he used to go be Menachem Avol. He used to carry a bone with him. And he used to tell him, Dein Garma Dasi Ro Abir. The Gemara Brachas. He used to say, this is the bone from my 10th son. All 10 sons died. So Rashi asked Akasha, what's he walking around with, a bone? He's mitamei all the kohanim. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah kvura on the bone. Are you talking? So some say it goes on the tooth. Some say the tooth, when it's detached from the body, is not mitamei.
Less than a shear.
They give different terutz in what's going on. What is Rabbi Yechon? What kind of a bone is he walking around with? They give different suggestions. Yeah.
Some people they bury the nails.
The Gemara says, Sarfon, the Gemara says, what do you do with nails? So the Gemara says, Sarfon, one who burns the nails is chassid. That's the very correct thing to do. Kaivron, if you bury the nails, is tzaddik. And Zarkan, if you throw the nails like this in the street, that's a rosha. The Gemara says, because it's unhealthy. The Gemara says, we don't understand. If a pregnant woman will walk by, she may lose her baby. Very strange, because the curse Be'etz of Tel Dibonim was given to Chava after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, and there's a medrash that says that before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas the whole body was covered with nails, and after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas the whole protection is gone, you only have on the fingers. So whenever you cut off nails from the body, that's going to remind the Bezen Shalmaila that the women deserve to be punished all over again. Be'etz of Tel Dibonim. So the Gemara has such an idea. So to burn, the Gemara says the best thing is to burn the nails. Sarfan chosid. And second best is kaivron tzadik. If you bury them in the ground, then you're a tzadik. So nishim uberis will not pass by. The Gemara says, though, in Moed Katan, it's only a sakana if you throw your nails on the floor, nishim uberis will walk by in the same location. What about in the Beis HaMedrash? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan is sitting in the Beis HaMedrash biting his nails. Gemara says, "Arai, that is permissible to bite your nails, because Rabbi Yochanan bit his nails. One can say it's also mishum ma'us, it's disgusting. So he was biting his nails and spitting them on the floor." So the Gemara says, "Zorkan Rasha, what's he doing?" And for the Gemara, women don't come to the Beis Medrash; they lived in a different generation. There's no Beis Medrash for the women. Beis Medrash is only for the men. So when are the women going to have a chashash sakana? When the janitor is going to sweep the floor and sweep the nails out into the street. So the Gemara says, if it's shaloi bim kaimim, then it's not a sakon. Sakonas only is the first place where you threw. Yeah, in yeshiva every day there are women coming to the Beis Medrash. Mr. Joel brings all the women to show them what a beautiful Beis Medrash, and he wants them to give donations that they should support the yeshiva and pay for this beautiful Beis Medrash. Today, yesterday there were women, today there are always women coming into the Beis Medrash. So we're careful not to throw any nails on the floor. Okay. So what was the whole mocker of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva holds lo yitama. If it would have said lo only, so Rabbi Shmuel would be right. Lo means the whole organism, the whole person died. If it's only an aver, even though aver benachai is mitami like a mace, and the kohen is permitted to be mitami to the mace of the seven relatives, but he's not allowed to be mitami to the Eiv Menachai, because it says lo. Lo means the whole organism. But Rabbi Akiva said, but why did it say lo yitama? Why did it say yitama? So the extra word yitama means it's a choiva. And what does Rabbi Shmuel do? How come the extra word is there? So Rabbi Shmuel says again, I did a cause of lo, cause of nam yitami. He's not spoiled from that. He thinks that you don't have to find meaning in every single word in the Chumash. You have a phrase, and part of the phrase is necessary to tell me a din law to the exclusion of Eiv Menachai. So the word Yitama was written Derech Agav. Then the third pasuk is also going to boil down to that. It's l'shitasa. All the three are l'shitasa, but not l'shitasa whether kala tarkula is chayva, is such a thing as rishus. They all agree there's such a thing as rishus. Nobody agrees to the klal hayofish or bal chayvus avodas. They all agree there is such a thing as a rishus. They just argue based on the context. And each one of the three times, Rabbi Akiva says there's an extra word, there's an extra phrase, and that's what the phrase means. Rabbi Shmuel says, you don't have to be medayik every single word. So that's l'shitasa as far as that nekuda is concerned. So the Gemara goes on the third one now. Rabbi Shmuel says, if you don't want to, you never have to set him free. Rabbi Kiva, no, you're not allowed to let the Yevet Kanani go free. Unless you knock out Shen V'yayin. The din of Shen V'yayin is only by Yevet Kanani. It doesn't apply to Yevet Ivri. So if you knock out Shem V'yayin, you're mechuyif to let him free. But anything less than that, you never hamashachar avda oivabes. So you're not allowed to free. You're not allowed to free the Yevet Kanani. So the Gemara asks, what's the machlokes over here based on the context, based on the mashmos of the pas? My time with Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel hold that it's only a rishus? So he says, I did chsev. You got it based on the background. What's the context over here? The context is a din loy sechay kol neshama. When we come to conquer Eretz Yisrael, there is Zaynumus. The Chita Amor Apis Aygusav Agir Goshi. The Zaynumus who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah says loy sechay kol neshama. Normally, when you wage a war, the din is that you only kill the soldiers. You don't kill the civilians. And usually, the men were the soldiers, and the women were never drafted in the army. Anoshim v'ataf. The young children were never drafted in the army before a certain age. Rashi and Chumash in Bamidbar says before the age of 20. You're not allowed to draft anyone. The Rambam never quotes that. Even though it's a Sifrei, the Rambam never quotes that. So maybe the Rambam thinks that it's societal. It depends. There's some cutoff point that before that age, you're not supposed to draft anyone. So if a child is young, that he would never be drafted in the army, or a woman was never drafted in the army, even by the goy. So that's considered a civilian. So you're not supposed to kill the civilians. Yeah, try. You can't help yourself. Whenever you wage war, you always, all the time, some civilians get killed. You have no brayer. That's how the Marami Prague writes that Vayera Yankamiyod Vayetzaloi in today's Sedra. So Rashi writes Vayera Yankamiyod Shema Yehorik Vayetzaloi Shema Yargas Acherim. So the Marami Prague says, what is he afraid Shema Yargas Acherim? Whenever you wage war, you have no brayer. You have a heter. You kill some civilians. He says, you have no brayer. Sometimes you have to kill civilians also. In order to win the war, you can't be so dainty. You're only going to kill the soldiers. You're not supposed to kill the civilians. So here the din is, by Zayin Umis and Amalek, those are the two exceptions to all. Zayin Umis, the Zachai Kol Neshama, the men, the women, and the children. You have to wipe out everyone. Yeah, you have to kill everyone. And by Amalek also the din is like that. You have to kill the men, the women, and the children. Unlike every other war. Every other war, you only kill the soldiers, the men, and here you have to kill the women and the children also. So the Gemara says the context of the pasuk lelamem tavo de geit azoy. I the dechsev. The background is the pasuk says leislachai kol neshama. Anyone from the zaynumis, you're not allowed to let them live. So the shad is, what if you have a mixed marriage? The mother's from the zaynumis and the father is not, or the father's from the zaynumis and the mother is not. So how do you determine the status of the children? So the Gemara says b'umis haloch achar azocha. It's always determined by the father. If you have a mixed marriage, we spoke many times, you have a mixed marriage, but one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish. So Tosfos points out that there are three opinions in the Gemara. How do you determine the status of the children? Tosfos, at the end of the first parak in Yevamos, the last on the base in the first parak in Yevamos, Tosfos shows there are three opinions. One sheet is that in order for the children to be Jewish, you need both the father and the mother should be Jewish. And if only one is Jewish, the children are not Jewish. The other opinion is, like the Reform say, either the father or the mother is Jewish, so the children are Jewish. And the third opinion, that's the accepted opinion, that's what it says in the Mishnayos, it all depends on the mother. How come there wasn't a fourth opinion? That makes more sense. It should all depend on the father. Whenever you have a mixed marriage and the both parents are not Jewish, so the status of the children, that's going to be our sugya here. Status of the children in a mixed marriage is always determined by the father to determine whether it's an Amaleki or a Chiti or a mitzvah, v'adoymi, amoyni, mayobi, everything is determined by the father. So the answer is, that's because l'mishpachosim l'beis habosim, mishpachasav kruya mishpacha, that's how the Rishonim say, the end of Kiddushin. Why is it b'umas halach achar azochar? Why is it that the father determines the status of the children If the father is from one of the other nations and the mother is from the Zainumis, then the child is not subject to Los Achai Kol Neshama. The child is a Haloch Achar Azocha. Why? Because by the Umis Ha'ilam, they're Mishpachos Adama. They're considered Mishpachos. And the Din of Mishpacha depends Mishpachos Av Kuri Mishpacha, Mishpachos Eimene Kuri Mishpacha. But to determine whether someone is Jewish or not, it's not a function of Mishpacha. V'harayiyah, we have an institution of Geiris. A non-Jew can convert to become Jewish, not related to anybody in the world. Gershon has got cut in Chanel Dom, is not related to his previous relatives who are not Jewish, and he's not related to any Jewish person yet. He didn't get married, he didn't have any children, he's not related to anybody in the whole wide world. So how can he be Jewish? The answer is, being Jewish is a function of being part of Klal Yisrael, being part of Am Yisrael. It's not being part of Mishpachas Yisrael. So all the Tanoim assumed for Dovah Pashut, that doesn't depend on the father. The pasuk says lemishpachosim leveis avosam, beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, mishpachas av kuri mishpacha, mishpachas ei meini kuri mishpacha. That's only with respect to din mishpacha. So beumas halacha achar azocher, being an amoleki is dependent on belonging to the mishpachas amolek. Being an amoyni mayavi depends on mishpachas amen amoyva. But being Jewish is not a function of mishpacha. So that's why there never was such a shita. There were all the other three logical possibilities, but that one, which one might have thought is the most logical, that no one ever said, depends on the father. So the Gemara is going to say, how do you know all this, that it depends on the father, not on the mother? When you have a mixed marriage, but both parents are not Jewish, how do you know it depends on the father? So the Gemara is going to work it out from the Pesukim. So the Pesuk says, L'olamem tavoidu, so Rabbi Shmuel says it's a reshus. If you want to, you can free the Eved, K'naini. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So what's the background? What's the context? I did dichsiv. The Pesuk starts off, you have to wipe out the Zainumis. You're allowed to have an Eved K'naini. It's impossible. How can you have an Eved K'naini? K'naini is one of the Zainumis. How is it possible to have an Eved K'naini? The answer is no. His mother was a K'nainis. The father was a Frenchie. The father was a Spanish or whatever. The father is a Puerto Rican. And the mother is a K'nainis. So the child is Nishkin K'naini. We call him an Eved K'naini because he looks like his mother. But he's not really an Eved K'naini. If he would have been a K'naini, he would be Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. So yeah, but then Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, Yitzach L'michta, L'yolam Am Tavod, L'mishri, Echad Mikolo, M'shabu Al HaK'nainis, the mother's a K'nainis, Ehrle B'men Abayin, the father's Nishkin K'nainis, the father's Ech Mikolomis, he's one of the other nationalities. He's a Frenchman, or a Chinaman, or a Japanese, or something. You're allowed to buy him as an Eved K'naini. You don't have to kill him. The other mam tavada means it's permissible to keep him. You don't have to kill him. The Tanya, we have a brisa that says all of this. That's what the pasuk tells me. That beumas halach achar azochem. Inayin, how do you know from the chumash? Lechem and umas, a Japanese man or a Frenchman. Shabu ala k'nainis, the mother's a k'nainis. K'nainis means any one of the zainumas. For the men of bain to have a child, shatar ashoy leknosa bebe. You don't have to kill a child. It doesn't go bust of the mother, it goes bust of the father. Tamiloima, the pasuk says like that. One of the children who was born, the father came from another, from a distant country, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he married a girl who was a K'nainis, and they had children. So the mother's a K'nainis, but the father was not. Someone, a foreigner, a Japanese man, who married a K'nainis, and they had a child, mehem tiknu, you can buy such an Eved K'naini. You don't have to kill that child because he's not a K'naini. Yochel, maybe even fakert. What if the father's a K'naini and the mother's not? Maybe he's only called Zainum, is it both the mother and the father are K'naini? No, it all depends on the father. It doesn't depend on the father and the mother. Yochel, af ha-K'naini shibu al-achas ben ha-umas. If the mother's not a K'naini, so the men are bein, atav ha-shol K'naini. No, tamalam shehali li bi-artzachem. Min ha-nalodim artzachem, v'lo min ha-gorim bi-artzachem. If the father's a K'naini and the mother's a Puerto Rican, then the Vlad is considered a K'naini. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's what the pasuk means. L'olamem tavod means he's not mechuyev to kill him. He's not considered the Zainumis because it depends on the father, doesn't depend on the mother. That's not good. So it's a good shot. So what motivates Rabbi Akiva to say L'olamem tavod means a chayvah that you're not allowed to let him free? Maybe it just says L'olamem tavod, there's no chayv hachrim tachrimin. How does he know? And for the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva holds mehem tiktu nafke shteitach shay mehem tiktu. It already says you're allowed to buy him as an eved, means that there's no hachrim tachrimim. Why does it say again le'alam tavoy delamli? Why is it repeated? The answer is Lechayva. Fregma Rabbi Shmuel, what does he do with that? So he darshans a different thing. If you have an Evek Naini, you can ask him to polish his shoes. You can ask him to give you a bath. You can ask him to do all kinds of malachas bezuyas. So that's Lolamem Tavoido, I can treat him, ask the Evek Naini to do Avoida Sevet. If you have an Evek Ivri, you're not allowed to ask him to do Avoida Sevet. Has to be Bekovedik. You can ask him to wash the dishes, whatever, but not ask him to do Bizoyim Dikke in Malachas. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel says, Lolamem Tavoido, that phrase means, you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to take an Eved Ivri and make him do Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Kiva says, I have already a pasuk that says that, what Rabbi Shmuel says. Why do I need another pasuk? Rabbi Kiva holds, Bachechem is safer than Kran Nafka. Bachechem and Esolish, Biochim, Nasir, the Baba Farach, Shtetach Shain. You're not allowed to treat a Jewish Eved the same way you treat a Goyish Eved. So what do you need again? Lelam Bohem Tavoid, the word Bohem is emphasizing. So Rabbi Shmuel says, "I did the bachechem k'siv nabi behem." The kid in Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, he says, a lot of times you have things repeated in the Chumash, and it doesn't necessarily mean to be medayik every single word. So that's again Rabbi Shmuel. All three times it's lishitas and Rabbi Shmuel that he holds. You don't have to be medayik every word in the pasuk, and it's lishitas and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says you have to. Every word is teaching you another din. The no lishanas kfulim that appear unnecessarily in the Chumash. Okay, so we'll stop here. No, the Gemara says in addition to the Shem V'Ayin, there are another 24 Rosh Eivar. Any one of the 10 fingers, any one of the 10 toes, and then the 2 ears, and the nose, and the Rosh Agviya by a Zohar. So the 24 Rosh Eivar are in addition to a Shein or an Ayin. A baby tooth doesn't count because it's going to grow in a second tooth, but a second tooth does count.
Wouldn't
that suggest that a Shein is an Aver? Perhaps for burial purposes, right? Or the question
about that person who lost 10 children, that he,
the
one of the
Perusim
is
a
Shein.
Not necessarily. Okay, but again, to that din, it's Rosh Eivarim is a different din. Chof 24 Rosh Eivarim is one din. Shein V'Yayin is another din. They're not exactly identical. The dinim are slightly different. Shem V'Yayin is Torah Shebichsav, explicit. And the 24 Rosh Eivarim is Torah Shebal Peh, it's not exactly the same. So the Shem V'Yayin is not Petoris Rosh Eivarim. It's a different din. It's not Petoris Eivarim. In this week's parsha, we read about the fight that Yankov had with Tzoros Shel Esav. We usually assume that it represents Alocha B'Yadur She'Esav Sonei LeYankov. Represents the anti-Semitism throughout all the generations. And the Medrash has a comment that says that after Yankov, by Yovik Ishimar Alos Hashach, after the fight, the Psukim said that Yankov won the fight, but Malach broke his leg. So he was Talei Al Yerecha. He was limping the next day. So the Medrash has a comment, Nebuch, he was Talei Al Yerecha. This is a representative of Dorosh El Shmad. What does it mean, Dorosh El Shmad? That the Nazis killed a lot of Jews, that Chmelnytsky killed a lot of Jews, that all the pogroms throughout the history of the world, there were so many pogroms, they killed a lot of Jews. So that's the Pashup Shat. Yankov Avinu ultimately wins, the Jewish people are still here, and all of the Umas Olam keep on disappearing, and the Jewish people are still, we win the war, but we have Mehinkanunta, because we lose a lot of lives. That's the Pashup Shat, the Dorosh El Shmad. Rabbi Hutner, Zechar Lebracha, has in his collection of drushes, he has a recurrent theme. He repeats this a lot. And he insists, based on other midrashim, that what the medrash means is something else. He has a very fascinating idea. He says, in the earlier generations, the Kuzari starts all the way back from Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon had an Inyan who had a key, had something special, divine about him, not some human being. Had something special. He had a few children, but the Inyan Halaki was only transferred over to Sheis. Adam Sheis Enish Kena Mahalal and so on. The beginning of Dibra Yomim. So the Inyan Halaki, the Kuzari says, was only transmitted to one of his children. Sheis also Vayola Banim Abanos only transmitted the Inyan Halaki. You can't say Kedushat Yisrael Adam Rishon and Nishgiven Ken Yi. So he doesn't use that expression. He has some kind of Inyan Halaki. He had something over and above being a human being. So all the other people were human beings, and Sheis and Enosh, Kenim, Halal, they had an Inyan who had a key. Then comes Avram Avinu, he's given a partial a miktas kedusha. So he saw he's given an added mitzvah over and above the sheva mitzvah. Now he's given a mitzvah of bris milah. So then you call kedusha Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu had a few children, had Bnei Keturah, had Yishmael. The Inyan Aleki, we call it now Kedusha Yisrael. Okay, only transfers over to Yitzchak. And then it says, Ki bi Yitzchak, we'll not call Yitzchak, has to be determined which one of the children of Yitzchak. So they were twins, Yankim and Esau were twins. Not like all the other cases that they were separate. Even though they were twins, Inyan Aleki was only transmitted to Yaakov and not to Esau. But then, Yankif Avinu had 12 Shvatim, and he had Dina. So which one was the lucky winner? Who was Jewish and who was a guy? No, that's called Mitosa Shlema. All of his children are Jewish. By Lubavitcher, Mitosa Shlema means all your children marry Lubavitch. but in the Gemara, Mitosa Shlema means all your children are Jewish. They don't have to be Lubavitch. All your children are Jewish. So all the children are Jewish is a Maile Metachisare. You have so many Jewish children. I have 9 children, Baruch Hashem, they're all Jewish. But sometimes achisarit. What if you have a Jew who becomes a mishumet? Yisrael afa pishuchat Yisrael. He's also Jewish, so that poses problems. So Rabbi Hutna Zechana Baruch Hu claims he thinks that that's the pshat in the Medrash. Yankev is tzalei al yerecha hink tunter zedorish al shmad. So usually you read the Medrash means it represents the fact that the Nochron makes so many pogroms. They're going to give us kahak tzoris to our oral generation. There'll be a lot of anti-Semitism. We'll be suffering a lot. He says it doesn't mean that means Dorish al Shma, the Jews will convert and they still have the status of a Jew. So this was a blessing with a curse together. It was a bracha with a klala. From the time of Yankov Avinu on, if a Jewish man has two wives, one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, so the children from the non-Jewish wife are not Jewish. But if a Jewish man has one Jewish wife, or he has a few Jewish wives, so all the children are going to be Jewish. And even if some of those children will convert, they'll become Mishumadim, and they'll convert to become goyim. They still have the inyan halakhi. They still have the kedusha Yisrael. So he thinks that that was the matana that was given to Yaakov Avinu on this occasion. He quotes a few midrashim, which he thinks indicate like that. That the dorish al shmad means this: when the Jew, not the goyim, give us a hard time, they're killing us. The Jews are converted. The goyim are pressuring us to convert, and many Jews convert. Those Jews still have the din of mitosu shleima. They're still considered Jewish. It's a matana that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us. And sometimes it turns out they were all saying it. So again, next week, as things stand now, I have a ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael on Sunday night. If nothing changes, I'll be missing next week, and the week after I'll be back. Okay. Shalom Aleichem.
Passing.
Okay.
Back next week.
How's everybody back
there? We know a woman is carried the Ibur, the baby. The woman only came from this the baby, the mother is Jewish. You know.